Hi, this is Emily with your Politics in Action report at CJMQ 88.9 FM, updating you on the latest and emerging political news. I will begin with an update on the Broma Park project. The Quebec government has finally confirmed its financial support for Bromont's Parc des Sommets de Bromont project. The park is to be situated near Mount Bromont Ski Resort, protecting approximately 150 hectares of natural forestry. Personnel relative to this project were present at a conference held last weekend to announce undisclosed amount received from the provincial government. There remains $2.4 million to seal the deal. Bromont's mayor, Louis Villeneuve, expects the remaining amount will be received in the coming days. Part of what incentivized this project was the Bromont community voicing their opposition to the current owner of the land, Charles Desordi, from constructing 30 residential homes. This comes following Bromississkoa MP Denis Paradis announced $18,200 in funding to the Bromont Tourist Information Office. The funds will be allocated to upgrade its infrastructure. What this tells us is that Bromont is making great attempts to improve tourism in Bromont. Areas particularly Lac Brome have been making attempts to draw in tourists. One way of doing this is by creating magnets to attract people to the region. Ways of doing this is by improving the appearance of our towns, and whether that is through infrastructure investments or the preservation of our natural land. This project as well represents a manner of improving the environment conditions in the area. For instance, Brome Lake is one of the most polluted lakes in the province, so any opportunity to preserve the natural environment is essential. Canada's objective in terms of tourism include being one of the top tourist destinations by 2025. And one of the best parts of touring Canada is exploring all the small towns and communities. Therefore, appearances make a difference in whether tourists will like to spend their money in a given place because it looks welcoming and appealing to the eyes. What small communities can benefit from is with greater visitors means greater recommendations to visit the area, and we can see long-term profits funds to set communities, which these communities will need if they are to thrive economically. In local news, Bishop students are pursuing political action as two students, along with an Indigenous representative from Bishop's, met with local MP Marie-Claude Bibeau last Friday. The meeting was in regards to the process of petitioning the government in making clean water systems accessible on all Indigenous communities. This comes not only from the matter that at least 81 boiled water advisories are in effect, but motivated by the visit of Senator Murray St. Clair, who expressed political action starts from advice from our local representative. This year, Bishop's Gender Equity Center aspires to circulate a petition during Equity Week, the week of March 19th. The objective is to acquire at least 500 signatures and present to the government in the House of Commons. This would apply political pressure and speed up the process of improving water systems on Indigenous reserves. Madame Bibeau expressed that she does not hear much about Indigenous affairs, as they are not greatly representative in the region, and believes that the government could use the extra pressure to take action. The reality is, no Canadian or any persons in Canada should not enjoy basic human rights or the enjoyment of essential resources such as clean and safe drinking water. Not many people are aware that two-thirds of Indigenous communities are under boiled water advisories. The initial governmental goal was to eliminate all boiled water advisories by 2021. However, 3 years, while it seems short in length, is long for communities who cannot bathe in the water or simply drink out of their taps. While there are many affairs the government should make a priority, yes, enabling easier access to affordable housing is imperative, but clean drinking water should remain a top priority. And no one in Canada should be left without one's basic need, and that is access to clean and safe drinking water. In the news in Granby, Quebec, a petition is in motion calling to not increase the wages of elected officials. Granbians are opposed to the proposed minimum 15% increase in elected officials' mayor and councillors' wages. They stipulate such a wage increase is too excessive. In actuality, if the mayor was to receive a 15% increase in wage, he would be between the 8th and 3rd highest paid mayor among comparable cities. Among the elected officials, only one councillor opposed the motion to increase and proposed a 5% raise opposed to a 15%. Despite the Democratic majority vote for the proposed 15% wage hike, the alternative is to protest. As such, Granby citizens are exercising set right with the petition. Their reasoning is that none of the rest of Granby citizens could ask for a 15% wage increase, which makes it unjust to raise the wages of those with greater authority above the rest of the populace. If anything, this wage hike will increase the wage inequality between the elite, public officials, and the working class. Granby has been called a working class city, where the average wage is $34,000. As councillors, it sends the wrong message of proposing wage hike for elected officials while the rest of the population is at the working class level. It also sends the wrong message because, as elected officials, they are supposed to be representatives of the Granby people. Thus far, the petition has received 1,250 signatures. Public consultations are in progress for Montrealers to take the time to express their concerns of perspectives of controlling potentially dangerous dogs in Montreal. These public consultations are relative to Mayor Valérie Plante's repeal of the pit bull ban and the muzzle bylaw. Instead, the city is looking to invoke regulations on dangerous dogs. The series of public consultations will be free for Montrealers to attend anywhere from now to March 4th. Currently, there are approximately 110,000 dogs registered in Montreal. The main objective is to find the best solution to regulate dog ownership so that dogs that potentially act out of violent behavior, whether that is against humans or other dogs, are not a threat to others. New regulations would not discriminate against any dog breed, according to Plante, and no ban is anticipated to result with set consultations. What it comes down to is public safety and prevention. With all dog attack cases, there were potentially preventative measures that could have been enforced and in place, especially in the city of Montreal, where people are most concentrated in public areas, where altercations with other people are possible. It becomes viable to prevent conflicts. In some sense, having preventative measures will protect dog owners as well as other citizens around, and there will be less likelihood of a lawsuit. The thing to keep in mind is that owning a dog in a city of Montreal, while permitted and is acceptable, is more difficult because there is less property for your pet to run around as would in the country. Therefore, owners must go out and share the space with others, which increases the likelihood of interactions with others and potential for conflict if things go wrong. After months of attempting to make decisions and resulting in negative backlash, the city has decided to leave the decision in the hands of Montreal residents. This is as democratic as a place can be. Holding the future of dog ownership regulations in the hands of Montrealers. With new elections comes amping up the party's image. As such, sometimes the manner by which parties improve their image is by finding a new face to lead the party. This is the case with the Quebec Solidaire, who has recently announced Manon Massé as the party's leader going into the October provincial election. Massé was formerly co-spokesperson of the party with Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois since May of last year. This was one of the elements that separates the Quebec Solidaire from other parties, the matter that they operate under a dual leadership, which is something not normally done in politics. Having two leaders is convenient in the sense that one leader's absence will automatically be replaced by the alternative leader, as well as it enables their strengths to complement each other. On the other hand, what we typically see in politics is one leader for one party, which simplifies matters for voters. It establishes recognition because voters will know that one person represents that party and will easily comprehend where their vote will reside with. In other words, having two political party leaders may complicate things for voters, as they may perceive one leader more valuable than another. This has been one of the controversial aspects of the Quebec Solidaire, as most people publicly denounce their support for parties under dual leadership because it is unconventional and unsuitable, especially for media relations. As well, it makes the party appear unorganized, as people will believe maybe the party isn't well organized to select its leader. Nadeau Dubois believes he does not have the sufficient experience to lead the party and has stepped down to allow Massé to take the leadership. Massé, as such, was one of the founders of the Quebec Solidaire when it was established in 2006. The Quebec Solidaire is a political party that has left-wing political views, including upholding feminist values, favoring environmental policies, as well as its support for the separatist movement and social justice. To say that the Quebec Solidaire has a bit of a difficult start would be an understatement. Being a new party is always difficult to enter the political arena, no less with the unconventional use of dual leadership. But if early polls are any indication, the Quebec Solidaire stands no chance against its political rivals, the CAQ, the Liberals, and the PQ. Congratulations are in order for NDP leader Jagmeet Singh, who had married his longtime girlfriend and fashion designer Gurkaran Kaur. The couple wed in two wedding ceremonies, one in Brampton, Ontario, known as the Kirtan, surrounded by friends and family, and the second half in Mexico for a private ceremony. This follows the traditional Punjabi wedding ceremony. There was some confusion whether the couple were married or engaged prior to this, but this was mainly due to Singh and his fiancée attempting to make their personal affairs as private as they can, all the while being in the public spotlight. Following the second half of their wedding ceremony in Mexico, the couple are spending their honeymoon in Mexico. The timing is significant with the upcoming federal election in 2019, as it is typically suitable for political leaders to be within wedlock. This was the case when Pierre Elliott Trudeau entered the political realm and was told as a bachelor he would need to settle down and improve his image as a politician, and as such he married Margaret St. Clair. This makes politicians look more stable, settled, and representative of the traditional family structure. As such, most political leaders are married and or have children. While the presumption that one should be married is a relatively older custom, it is more or so traditional for political leaders to be within wedlock as they enter the political realm. It also generates a media frenzy when political leaders are captured spending moments with their loved ones, and sort of revamps and heightens their appearance as relatable to other people. This unseemingly private matter actually aids with making voters admire leaders all the more. Churchill, Manitoba is a remote Arctic community located in northern eastern part of Manitoba. Recently, the northern community has been facing difficulty acquiring consistent delivery of goods due to the damage of the railway tracks endured by flooding. This is the main source of ground transportation to and from the region, which the community is awaiting for reparations. With no goods coming to the region means the scarcity of goods, hence a price hike. For instance, a bottle of salad dressing costs at least $6, and a 4-liter jug of milk costs $14. Gas in the region was subsidized, costing $1.70 a liter. So the cost of living is dependent on the location. For instance, the price of fish is cheaper in the Maritime provinces than it would be in Quebec. As well, there will be a less variety of products in remote regions. As a vegetarian myself, I know there will not be any mock meat alternatives, such as used veggie bean, in the small community of Sherbrooke, Nova Scotia. The reason for this is simple. With a smaller community comes a smaller demand when compared to the citizens of a city. Therefore, the delivery of essential and basic goods is less wasteful in time and resources, but is sufficient for people to survive off these goods. Being cut off from other regions also economically hinders a community. If there is no access to a location, there is no means of people, goods, and services to access this location. Transportation, ground, is essential for this. As such, Churchill is experiencing consequences relative to this. Lack of tourism, unemployment, and the hike in the price of living, and the government isn't just sitting by and doing nothing. The federal government has filed a lawsuit against the railway company, Omnitrax, for its delayed efforts to arrive at a solution. It will be within the next week to determine whether the case will go to court. Until then, communities across Manitoba are mobilizing in response by organizing food banks to support and provide for members of the Churchill community, such as the Winnipeg Blue Bombers alumni. The federal government has enacted parental leave legislation to increase the presence of women in the workforce. The federal government announced this was part of their initiative to promote gender equality in Canadian society. The policy is called Use It or Lose It, which grants fathers, or general breadwinners in the family, the opportunity to acquire paid parental leave. This is the federal government's attempt to make gender roles equal and interchangeable. Men can be stay-at-home fathers, and women can be working mothers. As such, within the next federal budget, the federal government plans to enact this 5-week Use It or Lose It incentive for the second parent to take parental leave, and whether that is the father or mother or in a heterosexual or homosexual relationship. All in all, the purpose of this program is to enable women to enter back into the workforce and give them the opportunity to focus on their careers as well as help them earn money, especially with having a new baby adds to greater expenses. The Minister of Families, Children, and Social Development, Jean-Yves Duclos, stated the estimates demonstrate that facilitating women's careers will augment GDP by 0.6% annually. The larger the workforce, the more we as a country can increase the amount of goods and services produced within Canada, and the greater contributes to economic growth. As such, this federal policy mimics the policy we have here in Quebec, where we have paid paternal leave of up to 5 weeks. Statistically, this option seems more desirable, with 80% of fathers taking parental leave in Quebec in 2014, compared to the rest of Canada, where 25% of fathers in the rest of Canada had taken parental leave. Fathers don't get as much parental leave as the mothers, and part of this is that women were and are still in instances considered the child carers. As such, men remain in the role as the breadwinners and are resultingly aren't entitled to the equivocal amount of time off to leave as women. This is how society is systematically discriminating against both men and women. An example of this is making childcare unaffordable, that it's sometimes having a loss of one of the partner's pay is cheaper than with a double income and paying for the pricey daycare. With this new federal policy, the hope is that fathers can acquire more downtime when their baby is born, which is often overseen by a loss of a paycheck. Both men and women play an important part of a child's life. Much of what men regret is not spending enough time with their children, especially at the time of their birth. Therefore, we need a policy that aids with making the father and the mother equally present in the child's life. That is it for this session of Politics in Action. Until then, take care. I'm Emily at CJMQ 88.9 FM.